Fellow auto detailers, welcome to the show that features interviews with today's most successful auto detailers. This is the Auto Detailing Podcast. Here's your host, Jimbo Balaam.
Grant Hawtrey. Was that any better?
You need to go hang out with Lee Boy. Lee Boy, the rag company, got it right the other week. He just nailed it first time. Go hang out with
Lee Boy. I'll have to go check. Well, I'm going to SEMA, and you should be on a flight too. But everyone else, welcome to this episode of the Auto Detailing Podcast. And Grant, can you tell everyone why you are not on an airplane coming to SEMA?
Because I live probably about 10,000 miles away.
That's it, huh?
That's pretty much it. And the cost for me is just, I can't afford it. I've got a child that came along.
Say no more.
So, yeah.
You have a child. Say no more. Anyway, well, just giving you a hard time.
And a six-month-old.
Say it again.
A teenager and a six-month-old.
Oh, man. That's brutal.
Actually, I'll give you the exact number. Teenager is going to be 18 in May next year, and the other one is 6 months old.
Oh, my gosh. Are you getting any sleep?
The air mattress in the lounge works wonders.
Oh, man. I remember that. I got a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 7-year-old. And when I tell people that, they go, oh, so you're getting sleep now. I'm like, well, better sleep, but still not much.
Maybe when we're dead.
Oh, gosh. Right. Anyway, other than the lack of sleep, maybe, how have you been? It's been a while.
Yeah, it truly has. Like, the last year for me has been very interesting. We've had a whole bunch of changes through sort of the company, and there's a lot more franchises now sort of globally and sort of across the ditch in Australia. So we've had a few changes. Almost died back in August, which was interesting. Almost having a brain aneurysm is not fun at the age of 36.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
So the last year has been very, very challenging. I came. I was just talking to a buddy the other day at a sort of a mental health awareness charity organization fun run thing we did on a weekend. And I just said how dark and how sort of I was getting ready to pretty much just pack it in come Christmas, just gone. So things have changed. I'm sort of looking a little bit on the brighter side now after sort of going through what I went through in August, which is still a complete blur.
So when that happened, do you want to talk about it, or are you not comfortable talking about it?
No, I'm completely comfortable talking about it.
How do you find out about that, or do you have like a seizure, or what happens?
Believe it or not, I actually had an abscessed wisdom tooth removed, which led to a large dental infection, which spread it over about a 2-week period, and then it just got really nasty, and then I ended up having surgery and getting cut open in the neck and in the mouth and stitches and teeth removed and all that kind of carry on, and I didn't realize until the actual dental surgeon doctor that sort of medically cleared me turned around and said, hey, look, things got pretty serious. I don't know if you're aware. And I'm like, no. And then he explained it, and I was just like, oh, wow, that's interesting. Great weight loss program, I'll say that, though.
Wow. I bet you wouldn't trade it, though, for weight loss.
Oh, I don't know.
Since you didn't die, it's worth it. Is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, definitely. Got it. Absolutely.
Got it.
Yep.
So I didn't die and I got to lose a bunch of weight. That, you're right, not a bad plan. I'm with you. Yeah. It's the only way that I would lose weight is the same, like coma, or just I would have to be in the hospital knocked out.
If I could go on a coma and wake up in about a month and just be like 25 kilos lighter, that would be amazing.
That would be amazing. I'm with you.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, so some life-altering life-changing events. And you had a baby during this time.
Yeah, well, I found out sort of late last year that my beloved other half was mysteriously having another baby, and I'm still not convinced, but...
Got it. And did this have anything to do with your brain aneurysm, hearing this information?
No, because she came to me sort of about this time last year, and she said, hey, I've got a surprise. And I did the full Homer Simpson and started tearing my hair out and running around screaming with tongue sticking out of my head and all that carry on. So did all that. And then, like I say, I had sort of a bit of a dark period over the Christmas, sort of leading up about 2 weeks leading up into Christmas. And I just sort of really honestly thought, you know, of really just chucking the whole detailing thing in and just going to go do something completely different. I didn't care whether I was stocking cans on a supermarket shelf or what. I wasn't really bothered. I just wanted to sort of get out of it. But
were you just kind of worn out of it, or what? Because and to be fair, I mean, a lot of us, not a lot of us, but I've gone through that same thing too, of like almost every year, every couple years, I just want to get out of it. I just want to be done.
Yeah, like I do this job, I shouldn't say 7 days a week, but it's on my brain 7 days a week.
Yep.
So, you know, and it was a situation where someone came down on me incredibly hard that had no financial interest in me or the company. Obviously, you know, Final Touch Auckland, who I work for and worked for 14 years. And the way he, because I didn't approach the guy with a title, he got very, very short with me, and he sort of started cussing at me and cursing at me and all sorts of stuff, which I didn't really appreciate in front of my own crew of guys that I'm trying to, you know, teach them how to detail, and, you know, and I just found it a little bit sort of angry and frustrating, sort of that, what is it, the flight, fight or freeze kind of scenario.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I sort of ended up a little bit like that. And it really, I don't want to say it was the final nail in the coffin, but it's one of them things where they say bad things come in threes. And that was the second thing for me. And then I sort of came back into the new year having a great, I had a really long break, extra break, started talking to other people. I just actually put the tools down properly and just focused on doing the things I enjoyed, which felt really good. And I came back and I was happy and, you know, a little bit. And then I went to a bit like a not a Goodwood style of sort of festival thing, but we had a thing with Nissans and a bunch of GTRs, and I was super excited. I'd worked really hard, got to a whole bunch of bits and pieces done on my car, and then the transmission blew out on track. So that was the next thing for me, and I just thought, man, I'm trying so damn hard, and I just felt like, do I really want to continue working on cars and being a part of sort of cars and detailing? And then, lo and behold, the stress and things got to me, and ended up sort of having this dental infection, and then I've come out the other side of it going, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, as they say, and I feel a truckload better, because I got sort of diagnosed, well, I don't want to say sort of, I got diagnosed with PTSD last year. Earlier this year, sorry, not last year. And I took therapy for it, and the lady gave me some coaching, and then I sort of thought about it and was like, yeah, okay, and then sort of worked around it. And I've been just trying to be a more busier, positive, trying to be as active as I possibly can person without giving up my soul for it, if that makes sense, without giving... It's hard to describe, Jim.
No, I totally understand, and I'll jump in. It's so interesting, because I think a lot of us, in just mental illness in general, I deal with it in my family, and have actually in the past year dealt with it a little bit myself as well, but... But detailing is interesting because so many of us get into it as because we love cars, it's a hobby, it's awesome, it's a passion, whatever. And then it becomes our job, which is, you know, on the onset, amazing. But like you, I've been in it 10 plus years, and it starts to take its toll and move away from that passion play, and we get, you know, it becomes all consuming and it's never ending, you know, and that's why I see a lot of these guys spending all this time on these massive paint correction and coatings, and it really starts to wear down other areas of our lives, and I think we need to be very vigilant of it. And I think it's a good thing to mention for new guys getting into it that are full of bravado and want to do all these crazy things, is like, you gotta set boundaries with it, you know. And it's easy to not set boundaries because you love it and you like it and you want to be around cars and you want to go to car shows and you want to be this master detailer and all this crap. And it's like, yeah, but at what cost does that come? And maybe you don't understand the cost initially, you know, and maybe it takes 10 years or 14 years or 25 years or 30 years or whatever it is. And then you look back and you got like this wake of destruction behind you, all for detailing or all for cars, and it's just not worth it. You know, so I totally resonate with exactly what you're saying.
Like, an example was I caught up with a friend I haven't seen in a while on the weekend. He used to own a mechanical workshop, and he was in partnership with another guy. They worked really hard. It was very hard for them because the rent was extravagant and, you know, running your own business, the stress, bookwork, everything. And he just woke up and went, nah, I'm done. He put his tools down. Like, he's a qualified mechanic, was mechanical for many, many, many years. You know, he's probably in his late 30s now. I sort of caught up with him, and the best thing he ever did was he dropped the mechanical tools and he did flooring for 4 years. So, you know, wood floors and all that kind of stuff and big projects. And then I found out that he was working at the local sort of AA, which is a bit like a Jiffy Lube now. And the guy that he was working in partnership with is now the manager of the place. And he's just like, you know what? He said, Grant, it was the best thing I ever did, was just I went away and did something different for 4 years, and I've come back and I'm on the tools, but I'm not having to stress about bookwork, paperwork. And he's just like, and that's the kind of thing I've done, was I've dialed back giving that, not that 110% feeling, but going the extra mile and then getting slapped in the face afterwards. I've stopped doing that. Because there's no, I went, another guy that let me down, I won't sort of mention names, but I did some work on a classic car for him, and then he kind of turned around and said, oh, look, I could have done a better job with a house brush. And I'm like, and I'm like, really? And I was just like, you know what, that was, I could hear that final nail being hit into the coffin, and I just went, that's it, I'm done. I'm no longer bending over backwards for people unless they are 110% genuine and they're not going to be an ass hat about it. And I will just, I'm just here to make the good solid money now, and I'm not here to just slog my guts out on something where I'm only going to make like $50 on it. I'm past that point now.
Yep.
You know, September just gone, I celebrated two things. One was, one's a positive and one was sort of a sad note. The positive was the fact that I've literally just spent 20 years in this industry from 1999. And the other part was sort of, you know, losing my dad 2 decades ago, all within the same sort of thing. And I thought to myself, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel and all that, carry on. And but yeah, I've also noticed it locally, how the industry is changing. Like, a lot more people are getting into detailing, and there's things on Facebook marketplaces, and I just look at it and go, man, I don't understand how those guys are making money and why they're doing what they're doing. I just decided just to focus on making my boss the money.
Yep.
And being busy and happy, because that's what keeps me happy. When I'm busy, I'm happy. When I'm not busy, I'm like a dog that just wants to chew things, and I get bored, and I get angry, and I get frustrated, and,
yep.
and that's not me mentally.
You know what's crazy is, so I do a lot of work with another local detailer, and mainly for me, I have a shop now, and so I'm kind of transitioning out of mobile detailing to just doing work at the shop, and then even kind of my media company beyond that, all around cars and detailing and stuff. And mainly it's because that when I'm not busy, I get frustrated and angry and then mean, and then it's not good when I don't have a lot of time on my hands. I call that ADD most of the time. So this detailer that I work with, and mainly I work with him because I couldn't find any reliable help, and kudos to you for being able to manage people, Grant. But for me, it was just easier to team up with someone who already had his business, and then I would we just go out and do jobs quickly. And it was funny because what I realized, him and I are able to do mobile jobs extremely fast. Like, we joke with each other, if we're anywhere for over 2 hours, we're there too long, right? So we do mobile jobs very, very quickly, and we mainly do express services. So everything up until paint correction, right? Any paint correction and coatings now just come to my shop, no questions asked, right? However, what we realized is that what customers are looking for and what satisfies customers versus what satisfies detailers online are two completely different things. And if and if I posted pictures of cars that I was able to do with incredible profits north of $100 an hour, I would get ridiculed and burned at the stake by detailers online. And it's like, it's almost like, and I know this is like a gross oversimplification, but it's almost like the less I care, the happier my customers get. Does that make sense?
I know what you mean. It's like, you shouldn't, I know exactly what you mean. Like,
and it's less stressful on me, you know?
Yeah. Like, I'm for me, it's one of them things, like, it's the whole thing of getting up on a Saturday morning. I'm only going to get up on a Saturday morning to do a job for someone if it's someone that's within my inner circle, if that makes sense.
Yep.
I'm not going to get up on a Saturday morning for a dealer or for just Joe Blogs down the street or whoever it may be. I'm not going to get up on a Saturday morning for them so they can, you know, just nitpick and be fussy about spending, you know, $100 or whatever they pay.
Yep.
I'd rather stay home and just play video games or just go downstairs in the garage and garage. Sorry, I'll correct myself.
It's okay. Garage. Yep.
And just go work on my car or just do something else. Go to the gym or something. I just don't see the point. There's, like I said, there's only a handful of people I'll get up on a Saturday morning and go,
yep.
They'll text me in the middle of the week or something and say, hey, can I come on Saturday for a detail? I'm like, yeah, no problems. Because they are genuinely they're people that are genuine, nice. They sort of, you know, they'll get you coffee or they'll get you lunch or something along those lines. But the thing is, the cars will be clean.
Right.
You know what I mean? They won't bring me something that's been on the Baja 1000 or something. And I'm like, Jesus, I'll be like, I only want to be here for like you say, 2 hours tops.
Yep.
Just and that's it. And then I want to go home. Otherwise, I'm at the shop from 8 till 5, 5 days a week, doing 75% corrections for, you know, 200 to 300 cars a month for dealers and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, and you know, I will touch on another subject. The other thing I have found along with this whole mental illness thing and, you know, mental health being very important these days. Mm-hmm. I've seen a massive change in our industry. It only happened a couple of weeks ago that there was a Euro Car Club event that a friend of mine went to. And one of my guys ended up detailing up her M3 and she, you know, took best choice or people's choice or whatever. But beside that point, one of the guys that was in charge of the event was going around and, you know, they own a detail shop across town. They do some pretty high value stuff, great for their marketing. And he was judging a car of some sort. And then another guy from another competitor that's probably about 15 minutes west of driving, about from where I am. Mm-hmm. And this guy just ran up and ended up clocking this guy at a car show while he was marking down a car and just gave the guy a complete king hit, what we call, and basically just ended up smashing the guy in the face. And I was just like, what the hell has our industry now come to in this country where we are so small that we don't need things like this to start happening, where regardless of whether they're competitors or not, there was no need for that dude to go up and just absolutely clobber the other guy in the face at a car event. And I'm like, what is this industry now? It's like, it's become such an ego-driven industry now. Yep. I'm just like, I just stand back and laugh and I look at how many, apart from your fantastic auto detailing podcast channel on YouTube.
Why, thank you.
I watched a video last night where the guy was just insane with how far they're trying to push paint correction on YouTube videos. And I'm like, you're doing YouTube videos for other detailers. You're not doing it for the consumer.
Yep.
Whereas you, on the other hand, are doing stuff for the consumer. And I'm just, I just said to myself, there's no one out there that can actually do videos now or give information just for the basics anymore.
Right.
It's just, I don't know if that's me or not, but I just thought, yeah, the way that the industry is now, it's very ego driven. And I've just, as you said before, I've just started caring less about that kind of stuff and
I agree. It's really unfortunate that us as professionals have really done a disservice to our own kind, you know. And I always joke, like, even though I love detailers, and when you meet them face to face, they're actually good people. But a lot of these, to market to detailers is the worst market possible. Consumers is such a better. Such a better market. But I will say, like, I'm heading to SEMA tomorrow. This podcast will go live after SEMA. But, you know, when I get to meet, I think the best part of SEMA is meeting detailers face-to-face, because we are great people when we meet face-to-face. There's just a loud minority of online YouTube detailers that suck. But when you meet these people face to face, they're actually awesome people. You know, it's just these loud minority that ruin it for the majority of us, you know. But that's why I think it's important for detailers to stay true to who they are. And that's one thing that I really try to convey on this podcast. And one reason why I enjoy Grant, you and I get to do a podcast is that I feel like it's just two real dudes just being transparent and real with each other and then trying to deliver that information to other detailers. You know, not saying, you're not here saying, well, I'd only do 30-hour corrections and coatings. It's like, no, I've had some struggles over the past year, and like, this is how I'm getting through it. And like, and I think that's what we need more of in this industry too, you know?
Yeah, definitely. No, you know, we recently had Jason Rose come out, and yes, the rumors are true. He does wear Rupert's underwear. You can ask him that. I'll see him tomorrow. Just say, hey, Grant said the rumor is that you wear like Rupert's underwear. Is that true? he recently came down, and it was great. Good catching up with Jason. He actually was genuinely enough. He stopped in at the shop, said g'day, because some guys were putting on an event, a bit like a Matt Mormon style event, and they were charging $40 for it, which I know it's only $40, but it was at one of my competitors' places, which I'm like, I don't really want to spend $40 to have something that's actually free.
Right.
Plus I didn't have time. And with a 6-month-old during the evenings and other things going on, I was just way too busy. But Jason was kind enough to stop through. And he went through a whole bunch of training and bits and pieces with us and some other people and some clinics and so forth. And he went down to, we actually had a bit like a detailers conference.
Mm.
It's the second one we've ever had. I didn't go to it this year because it was all the way down in Christchurch, which is the South Island of the country.
Mm.
So it's it's sort of a 2-hour plane trip or an hour and a half plane trip, but it started on a Friday and finished on a Monday. And I'm like, got a workshop to run. but one of the guys, Jason talked about doing, doing like a 5,000 grit sand and a polish, well, essentially a light, a correction and getting it done in 5. Only one guy stood up and went, that his mind was blown because apparently they were spending 2 days correcting cars.
Oh,
and I'm like,
gosh.
Just instant brain tumor. And I was just like, you got to be, here I am smashing out cars left, right, and center trying to get stuff done. And I can do, if I'm going to spend 2 days on a car, it's going to be a car that, like I did an old Jag that went into concourse or something like that.
But I don't even want to do that kind of car. Sorry to interrupt you, but do you really, I honestly get more enjoyment out of knocking out a car in 2 hours that's like a run-of-the-mill car, 2 or 3 hours, which I guess would be 4 to 5 man hours. But I get more enjoyment out of doing that and have so much less stress than doing a 2 or 3 day paint correction with a coating that the paint's super finickety and, all this crap, it's like, I could do that in concourse. It's like, it's just so stressful. The money usually doesn't pay, it's like, and if you have a different opinion, please tell me, I don't think I'm necessarily right either, but I just so stressful.
The thing for me, it's a bit like, you can have, I think of something that I saw like Sam the Cooking Guy do on YouTube where he talked about $1 steaks. It's like, you can either, you can have $1 steaks every night of the week, or you can just wait till the end of the month or whenever or once a fortnight, have a really nice cut of steak. For me, because we work on so many everyday cars, Corollas, Yaris's, RAV4s, Highlanders, and all that kind of sized vehicles, every now and at least once a month or once every 2 months, we'll get a nice car in, like a Challenger or a Hellcat or a Porsche or something, which cleanses my brain a little bit.
Got it. Okay.
But I would get bored very quickly working on the same stuff every day if I was to be in that situation.
Got it. That makes sense.
So it just gives my brain a treat to work on something nice for a change.
Yes.
That's not a boring, that's not a Corolla. And generally you'll find that nice car is not smashed or hammered and you're just refining it to and that person's bringing you that car because they bought you that car in the past. They're genuinely a good customer. They'll see you 2 or 3 times a year. And for me, it's that, like I say, it's that refresh of, it's a treat once in a while. You know what I mean? That's all it is. That's the way I see it.
I do. Otherwise, that totally makes sense because I remember when I used to just wash a lot of cars. And when I'm grateful for that time because it led me to all this, but I remember that thought of like, gosh, it's like the same old every day. And you, like you said, you look for that like break, you know, instead of just vacuuming or shampooing or whatever, you look for that break of like, can I just get a decent car? It's like when you do too many black cars and you just want a white car or vice versa, you know, you just want a different color car just because, you know, so I totally understand what you're talking about. Totally.
Yeah, and it's along the lines of that same principle, and it just for me that's what just makes me happy, whether it be a GTR or a Porsche or whatever it may be that comes in. I'm like, yep, that's cool. I know that person's come here specifically for us or myself or the company, whatever it may be, and it makes you going away feeling more satisfied as a person, and it gives you that mental boost, which I think is one of the most important things.
Yes. Yes. Love that. Love that. What would you let's say, you know, someone's, let's wrap this all up in a nice tight bow for the detailer, the newbie detailer, or maybe the seasoned guy that is just grinding it out, working, you know, 8 days a week, you know, 24/8, just really grinding it out. What advice would you give to them? Would it be, you know, what advice would it be to that guy or gal?
I put it in two categories. Guys like veterans, you know, people that I look up to, like your Rennie Doyles and Joe Fernandez and all them. I say, and you know, Jason Rose in that category, I guess. I just say the most important thing is for those seasons, guys, take a break. Just take a break. Go away for a couple of weeks or whatever it may be. Just, you know, go camping or something. Like, I think of what Rennie does. He'll just go up to, like, he'll go out on a hike or something like that, or they'll go bush or country for a couple of weeks. I think Jason was talking about going jeeping after SEMA, which, you're doing something. You're not on the tools, and you're out of mind. You're out of the state. You've got a chance to sort of hit the refresh button. For young guys getting into it, look, don't sell yourself short and end up watering down the product for everyone else. I see so many, like I said before, I see so many things popping up on Facebook Marketplace now where guys are doing cars for like, you know, $65 or whatever it may be. And they're like, oh, yeah, doing full correct, you know, cutting and polishing for like $120. And I'm like, don't do that, because you're only going to make it worse for yourself and you're only going to burn yourself out quicker.
Don't
do that, because you're only going to go, right, I can do this many cars a day and I can take this much money home. But you may do that, but you may end up burning yourself out for about 2 or 3 days. Don't think just because you can go pick up a tool or watch a bunch of videos that you can suddenly go out and start running a business. Go get education first before you go jumping in like that. You know, whether someone's offering a detail course or a seminar, just spend the money on your brain first before you go buying tools and going, hell yeah, this is easy. I can do this for a living, because with 20 plus years of doing this, I can safely tell you that there are times I've just wanted to just pack it in and go, no, I'm not interested in this anymore, or I'll just go do it as a hobby and just do stuff from. Yeah, don't sacrifice yourself. Just don't be professional about it without feeling, you know. Yeah, it's a hard thing for the young guy, because I think back when I was doing it, and I just think how hard it was. And if I could go back and teach myself again today, I would say, hey, slow down, take your time, maybe get a little bit more education and ask a lot more questions.
Love it. Love it. And Grant, how can people get a hold of you? How can they find you? How can they reach out to you, chit chat with you, take up more of your time?
You could look me up in the yellow pages. No, only joking. Those things don't exist anymore. Give us a look up on Final Touch Auckland on Facebook. People can reach me on Facebook or Instagram, Grant Hawtrey. That's Hawtrey. And one day you will get it. And hopefully all things go really, really well for FEMA. Be nice to see what's going to be interesting and what comes out of it. And like I say, Jason Rose does wear red underwear with Rupes written on it. So I've been told. That's pretty much it. So have fun at SEMA, Jim, and hopefully there's some cool stuff. And it's not all about who's got the latest coaching or who can offer
totally
thing a force field off the USS Enterprise.
Graphene's coming, Grant. Graphene's coming.
Oh God. Don't even go there.
We'll end it there. All right, Grant, I appreciate it.